So I heard that we can program our mind for achieving success, whether it is material or spiritual. So what does the Bhagavad Gita say about this? The Bhagavad Gita primarily tells us that the mind is moldable. And once it is molded in a particular way, it functions in that way by default. So changing that molding, changing that programming requires time. So now in self-help circles, when they talk about programming or reprogramming the mind, it is centered on something like auto-suggestions. Auto-suggestions. That means the auto-suggestions can be of different kinds and some of them can be helpful. So at a simple level, you know, calm down. So we are getting too worried. Say, calm down, calm down, calm down. Now, basically what we do through auto-suggestions is that we try to activate our intelligence. So the mind is going through certain emotions, we try to activate our intelligence. And some people say that just when you are sleeping, or just before you go to sleep, or just after you wake up, here are some of your plans. There are other books like Tap the Power of Your Conscious Mind, Tap the Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which say that at a transition between sleep and wakefulness, your mind is very receptive. So if you hear something at that time, that those thoughts will go deep into subconsciousness. So now, there is certainly some level of truth to the various techniques for reprogramming the mind. And yes, that's why as devotees, it is said that the last thought that we have is, we offer obeisances and we pray to Krishna when we sleep. We wake up, we offer obeisances and then we wake up. We pray to Krishna. So some devotees can sleep with some kirtans going on. And that way, that principle is there. The problem with material conceptions of reprogramming of the mind is, often they assign omniscience to the mind. That means, for example, there was just a few years ago, there was this very popular book called Secret. And it says that whatever you desire, you will achieve. So it is, as you say, so a woman stands outside a jewelry shop and sees a beautiful necklace. And she just programs her mind, oh, I'll get this necklace. And next day she finds the necklace around her neck. Or a young man sees a car and thinks, I want this car. And next day he's driving the car. Now, this sort of visualization is misleading in the sense that the mind is not omniscient. It's not omnipotent. The mind is not God. And to think that just by desiring something, just by visualizing something, I will be able to achieve whatever I want, that is unrealistic. Because there is, apart from, certainly, there is our endeavor and then there is destiny. Both need to come together by which the result will come. So the standard example the Puranas give is, a farmer has to sow the seeds and plow the land. That is the karma, that is the endeavor. And then there is the destiny, the rains come. And then when both of them come together, then the fall, then the crops, then the harvest comes. So now, the visualization, positive visualization can help in maximizing our endeavor. If I am always thinking negatively, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that, I am like this only, I am like that only, I am useless, then that negative thoughts will affect our own capacity to perform. Our endeavor will not be able to do it. So that is an acknowledged fact. That the way we think, that will affect our behavior, our capacity to function. So in that sense, positive visualization can help us to maximize our endeavor. It's like the farmer, oh, this field is so big, this land is so rocky. How can I plow all this? And the thoughts itself will burden the farmer. But it is not that the farmer, just by thinking, now rains will come, rains will come, rains will come, rains will come. That itself, if the weather is not conducive, if there are no clouds in the vicinity, it's not that the thought is going to produce the rains. So, the visualization can help us to increase, maximize our contribution. So, as devotees, we can think. So, the previous night only, when we are going to sleep, tomorrow morning, when I wake up, I am going to chant attentively. And I will be able to chant attentively. I'll do my best. That's all. If tomorrow, if from the night only I'm thinking, tomorrow another day of struggle. Such a burden. Then that negative expectation will make things more difficult than they need to be. So it can, the positive visualization devotees can use it for making sure that we maximize our efforts, that we do the very best that we can do. But to think that that will fulfill any and every desire that we have, that is not true, because we are not God and destiny cannot be changed just by our visualization. So there is truth to it, but often that truth, that the potency of auto-suggestions is exaggerated beyond their valid jurisdiction. So we can use it to maximize our endeavor, but we shouldn't think that everything will work out just because I have an auto-suggestion. Because I have seen, you've heard also, there are some devotees who used to do a lot of auto-suggestion before. And then, when the auto-suggested things don't come about, those gurus or those self-help teachers, they give them a different kind of guilt. Oh, you're not doing the auto-suggestion properly. That's why it's not happening. So, you did auto-suggestion to stop underperformance, but then you get the guilt of not performing the auto-suggestion properly. So, it's not necessarily a solution to the problem. It is useful in doing our part, but beyond our part, there is also much that is there which determines the result, and we need to acknowledge that.